the book of Ruth, chapter number 1 and chapter number 2. Amen. Just trying to follow the mind of the Lord for the service tonight. As the service was going, really wanted to settle down on what the Lord wanted me to preach. So you pray for me that God will help me tonight. Anoint me with power that's way beyond me. Amen. 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 That's what I need. Let's stand to our feet. Ruth chapter number 1. And verse number 20 and verse number 21. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your precious Word of God tonight. And Father, I thank you for the reading of it, that it is something that we can know is absolutely true. Lord, the things that we read from the first of it to the last of it, God, we know that the words that came from you, they're God-breathed words. Father, they're all for our help. And God, we need you to, Father, anoint me and empower me. Father, make these words come alive, Father, in my heart and in my mind and in my life now. And God, I pray that you would guide my thoughts and the words. And Father, protect me, protect my lips from any words that be contrary to the mind and the will of God tonight. Lord, empower me and anoint me and use me as a vessel tonight. Thank you, Lord, for each one that is here. And Father, each and every person is here for a reason. It's not by accident, God, that we're all gathered here and assembled here tonight. Each and every one of us have a need here tonight. And Lord Jesus, you have the answer to every need that may be existing in our heart and in our life. And Lord, right now, my need is the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, I don't know what the needs of those that are sitting in the pew are tonight, but I know that you have the answer and that you are the answer tonight. Lord, if anybody here tonight is lost, Father, if they don't know without a shadow of a doubt, Father, if it become their time to go today, Father, if they'd be in the presence of the Lord, or if they had been in the fires of hell, if they're not sure, Lord Jesus, I pray that tonight the sweet Holy Ghost of God drop by their way and bring old-fashioned conviction. Birth them into the family of God tonight. Lord, if there's anybody here tonight that's a child of God, but has been wandering and drifting and is backslidden and cold and indifferent, Father, I pray that the sweet Holy Spirit would come by and love on them tonight and let them know, God, that there's still hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's somebody sitting in the building tonight, Lord, that the devil's got them kind of encircled around about and they're contemplating in their mind, Father, whether it be fun or beneficial to kind of step out and to backslide or to go away from the things of God for a little while, I pray, Lord, that you would draw close to them and give them a warning from heaven. Let them know, Jesus, that you love them, that you care, and you want them to stay close to you, Lord. Now help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Little book, the book of Ruth. Many directions one could go and could look at and could preach. And I'm not preaching anything new here tonight. And I pray God just give me a touch of fresh oil tonight and help us and just remind us. We've all found ourselves in chapter number 1. Amen. At different times of our life. And we know there how that the family, they got up and they left as a famine was in the land, and they left and made a horrible choice, a choice that they had to live with and the consequences of it for the rest of their life. Amen. They had to live with those consequences. Now, while they was there, they had a hard experience.
They found out it wasn't a whole lot better down there where they went than what it was where they left. Now you think about everybody else had the same decision and the same circumstances there that they faced. But not everybody made this decision and left and went where they went. Alright, so a famine took them out and led them down into a land where there's not supposed to be to start with. But I want to ask you tonight, what kept them there for so long? I mean, the famine was over, and God had visited His people, and God had blessed His people, and what a sad place it is when you hear of the blessings of God, but you're somewhere else. And amen, some way, the Word of God came unto them, and they heard of the blessings, and the visit of God, back where they should have been. Amen, the place where they left. You know, sometimes it gets a little tough. Sometimes your lights may not seem so to be fair. But if we got what was fair, we'd be burning in the pits of hell. Amen, if we got what was fair to us, if we got what was coming to us, that's all we deserve today, is to be cast into the lake of fire. And that's it. So we look around and say, well, you just don't know what I'm facing, preacher. I don't know what you're facing. I may not have been there, but I know that the same devil that fights you, fights me. The same devil that tempts you, tempts me. And he tempts every man of God and every lady of God that's ever been birthed into this earth. Faced the same thing. Everybody that was there faced the same thing as they went by. So what a hard experience there as that famine drew them there. But what kept them there? That famine is just a natural adversity that comes. I mean, it's natural. There's going to be famines in our land and there's going to be famines in our life. And that's natural. Natural adversity. So what's going to happen? It's either going to draw us closer to God or it's going to drive us further away. One or the other. I mean, and that's according to the choice that we make and how that we face those things. But while they was there, I mean, down there in a place where they shouldn't have been, amen, where the blessings of God was far from it, and they said that they heard. She had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. Good to hear the blessings of God. It's bad to be in Moab when you hear the blessings of God. Amen. But no matter what it is, it's always the best thing when you hear it, no matter where you're at. Amen. Even if you're in Moab, it's good news that God is moving and God is working and God is stirring. Oh, yes. Well, there have been times in my life when I was down in Moab and I heard of the blessings of God. There have been times that I've been in Moab in my life and I sat in a service and God in His glory moved through. And I just had to kind of sit back and watch because I knew because of the natural adversity in my life and through the decisions that I made, I'd found myself in a Moab of my life, not being where God wanted me to be. That God was still on the throne. God was still in control. God was still doing what He had always done. He was still loving His people. He was still caring for them. You know, but as we read in this portion of Scripture, in chapter number 1, let me just look at this. I mean, I like following the words through here. It said, when she heard, it said in verse number 6, that she might return. And verse number 7 says she went forth. And in verse number 7 says they went on. I mean, just follow those words on there. And as it goes on, it keeps on going in the last part about return, return, return. And then it gets up there to the there. So in verse number 19, so they too went until they came. I mean, now they were going, they heard it and they went on and now they went until they came. Verse number 3 of chapter number 2 says she went and came. Amen. There's one thing about it. When we find ourselves in a bad spot, we need to keep moving on. Amen. Don't stay too long. Amen. We need to find that place of going until we come to the place that God has a special blessing and purpose in our life. Here they went and they came. And there in verse number 20 and 21, as he read Naomi, he said, "Call me Mara, for the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me." In chapter number 1, just think about this just a minute. While they were there in chapter number 1, she's hearing about God's blessing, but she has been impoverished by selfishness. Say, they have been impoverished by selfishness. There in verse number 1 through verse number 5, they were very selfish in their decision. As they seen the famine come, they didn't have everything that they thought they wanted, or that they thought they needed, or they thought they deserved. So they lifted up their eyes and looked somewhere else to be satisfied with what they thought they didn't get that they deserved. So through their selfishness, they had left God's place, and they were now impoverished by selfishness. They got themselves in a place where the blessings and the grace of God was far from them. So there they are. They're impoverished by selfishness. But we also see in verse number 6 through verse number 18 that it's impounded by selfishness. They were impounded by selfishness. In other words, they became a slave, or they were there in bondage and impounded by their selfishness. See, the first thing they did, they tried to run from their problems. The second thing that they did, they tried to hide their mistakes. You see, when she got down there and her sons died and her husband died, and there her daughter-in-laws were with her, and they began to follow her and come back with her, she looked around at them and she told them to go back. I mean, she said, "Turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have an husband, and if I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown?" She said, "You turn around and go back." Now you say, what do you mean she was impounded by this selfishness? What were those two things that were coming with her was a reminder to her, and when she got back where she was supposed to be, that was the very reminder of the sin that had messed up her life. And as she looked at him and said, "You all go back. You all go back your way. Don't you come with me. I don't want anybody to remember how I messed up in my life and all of the judgment of God on me." So they were impounded by selfishness. She's still at this time looking, and she said, "What's everybody going to think, you know? What's everybody going to think about me? What's everybody going to be saying about me at that time?" So she tried to hide her mistakes. And then in verse number 20 and verse number 21, she's imprisoned by selfishness. And now she tries to blame God for her problems. And then verse number 20 and verse number 21, she said, "For the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. He said, I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" Now I want to tell you that I absolutely believe that God did it. Amen. God had did this to her, but she ought to realize why that the Lord Jesus did it, and why God in His love had to do what He did. She's looking up there and she begins to look and said, "Look what God has did to me. Don't call me Naomi, but call me Mara, because look what God has done to me." So many times we blame God, amen, for everything that goes wrong in our life and our problems. And if we just think back to that simple decision, had one day, had we had two ways to go, and we set our eyes in the wrong direction, got ourselves in the mess that we find ourselves in. So there they are. All selfishness had brought them to this place. Selfishness had messed up their life pretty much. Now, as she leaves here, she said, "You know, I've not got anything left. I'm empty." She said, "The Lord has brought me back empty." Was she really empty, or did she have anything left? You know, when we are so selfishly impounding ourselves because of our problems, when we're so selfishly imprisoning ourselves and not releasing that and taking the responsibility of it, when we're doing all of that and living in selfishness, we're so blind to the blessings of God. We are so blind to the opportunities that God places before us. We are so blind unto the opportunities and the blessings and what still remains in our life. Was she empty or did she have anything? Well, number one, she had life. She had, she still had her life. I mean, back down there in Moab, there was three graves, three mounds of earth. But she still had her life. And she could live to glorify God and to honor God with. She still had her friends. As she come in there, she might have thought, nobody's going to like me anymore. Nobody's going to wrap their arms around me and love on me anymore. I mean, I messed up my life. I made a mess of it. Nobody's going to care anymore. Boy, as she come in there, all of her friends come out and they receive her where she's at. Amen. They begin to love on her. They begin to care for her. But not only does she have that, but she also has Ruth. Amen. She also had a little bit more now. She had something now that she didn't have when she left. She had a Ruth there. And then she had a Ruth. I mean, God's blessings was on Ruth. But she also had Jehovah. She said, I went out full and the Lord brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me and the Almighty hath afflicted me? She still had Jehovah, the God of Israel. Amen. That word, that name is found 25 times in this little book of Ruth. Jehovah, the God of Israel. God is with us. And God is for us. And amen, what that was being said there to Naomi, amen, as God's name is made mention over and over again, is that God is with us and God is for us. Amen. Oh, we make so many mistakes and go the wrong way many times, but God is there. Boaz in chapter number 2 is the kinsman redeemer. So come down there, it begins just very simple in chapter number 2. They're just going to begin a simple, ordinary life. They're just going to kind of get the necessities of the life and just kind of stay undercover in a sense. Not stand out and not beg and not do anything. Just make a meager life and just get what is needed to survive with. And as they go on down their way, you want to know something about Ruth. Ruth's desire. Nobody made Ruth go out to the field to glean. Nobody made Ruth go out the direction she was going. But Naomi didn't say, now Ruth, you go out here and you do this. Naomi was not made to do that. Naomi's desire was to go out and to find what was to make life better. Her direction. No one informed her which direction to go. Nobody gave her any direction and any description of the field that was good gleaning that day. Nobody gave her any direction in that day. And then you'll think of the detection there. No one else noticed her. No one else paid any attention to her. But Boaz did. God, amen, the Bible says, and her help was to light upon a field that belonged up to Boaz. Amen, that was the direction as God was leading her and God was bringing her to this place. She finds herself there in that place and she's detected by Boaz. And amen, in chapter number one, we see that they're overcome by grief. We can say that she's overcome by guilt. Chapter number 1. And in chapter number 2, she's overwhelmed by grace. In chapter number 3 and chapter number 4, she's overshadowed by glory as God visits with her and God restores the blessings of God upon her. But never is she overlooked by God. Amen. Even when she was overwhelmed by guilt, even when she was overwhelmed by grief, God still was looking her direction, and she was never overlooked by God. Chapter number 2 comes in. She's just going on by her meager existence of life. And go find somewhere where she could just glean. Where she could just kind of fit in with everybody else. She wasn't looking to stick out. She wasn't looking to draw any attention to herself. And God the Holy Ghost, amen, led her direction of a field of Boaz. Put her right there in amongst of it. Boy, when she got down there, amen, Boaz noticed. Those other men, they looked at her. And I believe by reading there in the several verses, the first several verses, six or seven verses, I believe that we would not be doing any injustice to the Scripture to say that those other men, they saw her with their eyes. Their eyes saw her. They was not blind. They saw her. And you know how people are. And you know, I believe what was happening was they said, hey, look at her. You know what happened to her. You know who she is, don't you? You know what Naomi and her husband and all them, they run off and they left us and they went down out of Moab and they had experienced the curse of God on them. They lost everything they have. Now they come back. Look at her over there. Oh, they noticed her in that sense. Boaz, he saw something different. Amen. Amen. Boaz, he said, look, and he didn't see, amen, a judgment in a sense. He didn't see the ugliness. He didn't see the situation. Amen. But he saw something in the future instead of what was in the past. Boy, now here, notice something about this. As she's overwhelmed by grace, Boaz took interest in her. Amen. Boaz took interest in her. In verse number 5 through verse number 7, he comes up in verse number 5 and he said, whose damsel is this? Whose damsel is this? And that damsel just means a young girl from infancy there to adolescence. It means a young woman. As he comes up there walking over to check out his field, he wasn't a seeing, checking out the gleamers. He was checking out, amen, the reapers. He was checking out the harvest is what he was looking at. But when he got over there, his eyes fell on Ruth. And he took an interest in her. He came up there and said, whose damsel is this? And then do you remember, amen, in your life, as you had experienced and how that sin had destroyed your life and made a mess out of your life, and just in the midst of your life, as you're just going about to survive and to get along and not trying to stand out, but just one day out of the blue, God Almighty took an interest in you and He came by and began to, amen, take an interest in where you was at. Amen. I remember when God took an interest in this little old boy. I was raised in the house of God. I was raised at church. But that didn't make me any better or any bigger of a sinner than anybody else. I was just as bad, just as lost, and just in need of a Savior as the worst sinner on the face of this earth. I didn't do anything to deserve anything. Amen. I wasn't one that called out and tried to make all attention to myself. I was one that I tried to hide the best I could. Yeah. Amen. I didn't try to do anything. I didn't try to get anybody. I was one that, Brother Rackley, I'd rather take an elf in English class than to give an oral speech. I wasn't get up in front of nobody. I didn't want anybody to pay me any attention. I wasn't one of those that was always acting like a clown and trying to draw attention and get somebody to look at them. I was quiet. I was shy, but I remember, amen, that day I didn't do anything. Amen, I didn't do anything to draw His attention to me. But I remember, amen, that He took interest in me. Amen. He come where I was at. I was on vacation 100 miles from where I lived. Amen. 100 miles out of my comfort zone of that little country church up in the mountains where I seen all my buddies get saved. Where I seen them all go to the altar. And I'd say, well, I wish I'd get saved. I wish I'd get saved. I wanted to. Amen. I mean, you say, well, why didn't you? Because the Holy Ghost of God hadn't got hold of me and drove me. All it would have been a little repeat after me, and it really wouldn't have been anything that made any difference in here. It wouldn't have helped me any. I remember different times thinking, you know, I'd see my buddies go down there and cry, and God move in and save them, and boy, they'd shout, they'd run the aisle, they'd run the top of the pews. I'd say, I wonder what they'd do if I got saved. Yeah. I remember thinking one time, I'm talking about a 7-year-old boy. And I thought if I got me a straight pin out, and I poked my net leg real good, and I got me up some tears from that needle in my leg, I'd run up there to the altar and I said, boy, I'd get it. I'd get it all right. I'd get a sore leg and that's about it. Yeah. Amen, that's about all I'd get. But I remember the day that He took interest in me. Amen. It was more than a prick in the leg. Amen. It was a prick by the Holy Ghost in my heart. It made a world of difference as He was drawing me. Because that day, there's nobody else around. But as we moved in that little church, amen, I don't know if anybody else got saved or not, but as far as my world was concerned, amen, it was just me. God was paying attention to that day. He took interest in me that day. Do you remember the day that God came by your way and He took an interest in your life and He took an interest in you? Mm. He took interest in Him, but not only did He take interest in Him, amen. Think of what 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 19 says. The Bible says, we love Him because He first loved us. Amen. Brother Rackley, that word first there means more than just a sequence of events. Amen. Amen. It means more than just a sequence of events. Amen. Looking up that word there, when He first loved us, it means the beginning. It means before. And it means best. And it means foremost or champion. That's what the definition said. Amen. That's what you said, something about Him being a champion. Amen. There's nobody can take interest in you better than He can. Amen. He's the best at taking interest in you. Amen. He's the champion at taking interest in you. You may think that little girl has took some interest in you. You may think that little boy has taken some interest in you. But it's nothing in comparison to when the Holy Ghost of God moves by and begins to take interest in you. Oh, amen. The beginning. Amen. Before you ever wanted Him, before you took interest in Him. Amen. He took interest before you did. Amen. In the beginning and best. Amen. I like that. Amen. Do you remember when He took interest in you? Think about this in chapter number 2. Not only did He take interest in Him, I know about being overwhelmed by grace. Do you remember when He took interest in you? Chapter number 2, not only did He take interest in Him, He took initiative to speak to her. He took initiative to speak to her. He took interest. Then He took initiative to speak to her where she was at. Oh, yes. Amen. Verse number 8, verse number 9. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to gleam in another field, neither go from thence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Oh yes, he took interest in her, but He took initiative to come and speak to her. Amen. Where she was at. Amen. When He noticed her and took interest and said, whose damsel is this? And then He took initiative and He went down to her where she was at. Amen. I thank God the Holy Ghost of God took initiative. I tried to take initiative several times. I tried to do what I could and see some way or another I could muster up a confession. If I could muster up a conversion some way, but it didn't work until He took initiative and came and spoke to me. Amen. The Bible says that, amen, if any man come unto the Father, amen, must be drawn. Amen. That's a forgotten doctrine nowadays most time. Amen. But it still works. As a matter of fact, it's the only thing that works. You can repeat a prayer after somebody, and I'm not against that. You can sign a card. You can do everything that you want to do. You can raise your hand, and you can do everything else. But until He takes the initiative and speaks to you, you can do whatever you want to do, and it'll not work. Amen. I remember that day. He took initiative. That day I heard something that I'd never heard before. I didn't hear an audible voice. Amen. But everything else was just kind of shut out all around me. Amen. I couldn't hear anything else. My heart was pounding out of my chest. And all I could hear, amen, was how that Jesus loved me and how that He wanted me to be born again. That preacher wasn't telling me all of that. The evangelist wasn't telling me all of that. My mother wasn't telling me all of that. Amen. But I don't know, understand who was doing it at the time. But I do now is the Holy Ghost of God. He took an initiative that day and began to speak to me and to draw me. And to where he was at. Oh, yes. Amen. He drew me that night. Took initiative. Amen. To speak to him. Amen. As a matter of fact, in verse number 15. Amen. Verse number 13, I believe it is. This is how she remembered it. For that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid. Amen. There's something different about the way he spoke to her than the way those other fellas did out that day. Amen. There's something different about him. Amen. He's spoken friendly. And that means more than he just come up and with a smile. And he was friendly to her in that sense there. But it means there that he spoke to the heart. He wasn't just speaking friendly, so to speak, and to be nice. But he was speaking from his heart to her heart that night. Oh, yes. Donnie spoke friendly to me. Nobody else ever spoke to me like that. Nobody ever else has since that day. And amen, I know and recognize when the Holy Ghost of God begins to speak to me because I still remember the way He spoke to me that first time. Amen. And He spoke friendly. I still not just can tell His voice. Amen. But I can feel His heart beat in His voice as He speaks to me. Amen. Today, He took interest in her. He took the initiative and spoke to her. But also in verse number 11, the Bible says He took information about her. In verse number 11, and Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. She didn't know anything about him. He knew everything about her. Amen. He knew everything. He knew where she was from. He knew where she had been. He knew how she got to where she was at. Amen. She didn't understand all about that, but he took information. I had to say that God is all-knowing. He's always been around where I was at. He knows where I've been. He knows, amen, where He got me from, where He brought me to. Amen. He knows all the trouble that I've been in, and He still loves me. Yes. He don't have to go out like Boaz did. Boaz had to go somewhere and he took enough interest in her that he asked somebody, he said, hey, you know, whose damsel is this? Tell me all about her. I'm glad the Holy Ghost of God knows all about me. And amen, no matter where I come from, He still took an interest in me. Amen, He still took initiative and still spoke to me. He still came to me. Yes. Amen. Then a little bit more as she began to get a little more overwhelmed by grace. Don't you imagine about this time that Ruth had said, what in the world is going on with this man? I don't know him. I don't know who he is. All these other girls, and all these other people, they've been here longer than I have. And boy, look at all them over there. They're his own people. They're a whole lot prettier than I am. I'm not even their kind. What is he paying attention to me for? Don't you think she didn't notice? Amen. She began to notice. She noticed from the very beginning. And every time that something else happened, she was a little more overwhelmed by the grace that was being extended to her. He not only took information about her, but in verse number 9 and verse number 15, he took insurance for her. In verse number 9, he said, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And then verse number 15, it says, "And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her gleam even among the sheaves, and reproach her not." Oh yes. Oh, devil's been ring-fenced. He can't do whatever he wants to do because somebody took an interest in me. Yes, amen. Somebody took an interest in me. The far as his scope is concerned, God determined it. He can go so far and no further. As far as the devil and his spear is concerned, that's God defined. He can go so near unto me, but no closer. Amen. As far as his strength is concerned, that's God dictated. He can do so much and no more. Because God took insurance of me. Amen. Do you remember in your life? Amen. As God the Holy Ghost took interest in you, and it took initiative again to call your name. Amen. It took some information you knew that you knew God knew everything about you, and you began to wonder why He'd want to call you, why He'd want you for. And do you remember those times that He began to protect you throughout your life, just as supernaturally God was hovering over you and protecting you. Amen. And He'd only let the devil do so much in your life because He is wanting you for Him. Amen. He had a special purpose in mind. He had a special desire in mind. He took insurance for her. In other words, what He did, He took responsibility to provide for her. And He could be trusted. Amen. He could be trusted. Those other men that He had to command and say, "Now, you reproach her not. Don't you touch her. Don't you say anything to her." Those men couldn't be trusted. Don't you think that some of those old men out there, they begin to holler over there and say, "Woo, woo, woo! Hey, come on over here. Come on over here and go on the dust now. Yeah, come on over here. Yo, we'll take care of you." They couldn't be trusted. But the Holy Ghost of God, amen, as He came by, amen, He took insurance of us, and you can trust Him. Amen, you can trust Him today. He not only took insurance of her, but as she was overwhelmed, becoming more overwhelmed by this grace, He took an interconnection with her. In verse number 14, the Bible says, "And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she said, besides the reapers." Well, that'd be good enough right there. Amen. What a day that would have been right there. But He did more than that. And He reached her parched corn. And she did eat and was sufficed and left. He reached her parched corn. He made an interconnection with her. She wasn't just at His table as one of the reapers, but as one of them. But it said there that she sat beside the reapers. Amen. He didn't even connect her with the others. He was sitting at her table beside the reapers, and that's what she was. But it didn't say that's what she was. And it says He reached her. You see, she wasn't just any old reaper at that time. He interconnected with her. At that time, there was no interconnection with those other reapers that were sitting there. Nobody else that was sitting at the table, there's no other interconnection between Boaz and anybody else but Boaz and Ruth. And He reached her. That part's corn. Amen. That's pretty simple. It means to grip. To hand out personally. Amen. With His hand, He had it in His hand, and He reached it out to her. He offered it to her. He gave it to her. He interconnected with her right there. That day, that preacher didn't interconnect with me. My mama didn't interconnect with me that day. And something a whole lot bigger than them two had an interconnection with me that day. As He reached me something. And I was the only one around. In my mind and my eyes, I was the only one around. And He reached it to me that day. He interconnected with me. And the Bible says that He took upon Himself the form of a servant. And that day, Boaz was not just the master. He's not just the owner. And that day, Boaz, he became her servant. And he served her. Yes. Became a servant for us. He took upon Himself the form of a servant. So that somebody like you and I, amen, could be part of His family. Because He took an interest in us. Think of something else. Not only did He take an interconnection with her, but He took identity with her. In verse number 13, in verse number 14, amen, it says He spoke friendly to her. And He said, "Mine handmaid, He said, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens, Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou thither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers and he reached her parched corn and she did eat and was sufficed." In other words, He took identity. He was not ashamed of her. He said, "You come into my house, you sit at my table, and I'm identifying with you." Nobody else in that field wanted to identify with her. Nobody else in that field wanted to have anything much to do with her. But that day Boaz said, "Hey, I'm going to identify myself with her." It's not because of who she was, but it's because of who she is going to be. Amen. Because of who she is going to be. He took identity with her, but He also took an investment in her. Verse number 16, the Bible says that, "And He told these men, as He said, reproach her not. He said, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not." He took an investment. In other words, as He had identified Himself with her, He took an investment. And He was providing for her success. Amen. He took an investment and was providing for her success. He didn't want her to leave a failure without any gleaming. He didn't want her to go back there to Naomi. You see, He knew who Naomi was. He didn't want her, when she got back there, Naomi, to be disappointed in her. Amen. He took an investment in her. And it also says there, not only did He do that, but He actually put some in her pocket. Amen. Now, He put it there, and He reached for something, and it was there in her pocket. She took on there as well. An investment. The handfuls of purpose in our life as God has blessed us and took an investment, amen, and was taking care of us and wanted us to be successful as a Christian in our life. He also took intercession for her. There in verse number 15, as He looked at those young men, He said, "Let her gleam even among the sheaves. Reproach her not." He went to those men and He said, "All right, fellas. Don't bother." He took upon Himself to go to somebody else in her behalf. Amen. Amen. I couldn't go to the Father. But the Son could. Right. Amen. And He went there for me.
Yeah. Thank God. Amen.
He made intercession for me that day. And the Bible says that He ever liveth to make intercession for me. Amen. Even with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen.
Yes.
Even when I don't know what I need or what I should ask for. He still took intercession for me. Go in my behalf. Because He took an interest in me. She is overwhelmed by grace that day. You see, He took an inspiration in her. I believe that day, what He saw in her made Boaz do something that he had never did for anybody else. He had never did before. What He saw in her potentially caused Him to do what He does in chapter number 3
in chapter number 4.
Yes, sir.
And she became his. Naomi in chapter number 1 has said in verse number 12 pretty much what she's saying. She said, if I should say I have hope. So in other words, in verse number 12, chapter number 1, what she's saying is, I have no hope. I have no hope. It's all done for. Ain't no hope. But now there was some hope. There's a new word introduced in the book of Ruth. Amen. And that's in verse number 20. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law. Naomi hadn't said this word anywhere in the book of Ruth, but it had not been said. Now she said, blessed be thou the Lord. Blessed. That word hadn't come into her mouth in a long time. Experiencing the blessings of God, recognizing the blessings of God in her own life had been something that she was not used to. She went from a place of no hope to now she realized the blessings of God. You say, how did she know? How did she know she was blessed? Because she knew who Boaz was. Amen. Because she knew who Boaz was. You want some blessings in your life? You better know who the Lord is.
Amen.
Amen. You better know Him.
She
had been living on faith. She had been living on grace. But now at the end of chapter number 2, she's living in hope.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. She's been living on faith. She had been living on grace. But now she's living in hope. You see, she said, blessed be thou the Lord who have not left off His kindness to the living and to the dead. In other words, she said, I've got some hope now. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near and kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. A living hope, Boaz. You know what a living hope is? It's one that grows stronger and stronger each day. We as the children of God have a living hope.
Amen.
In the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As the days get worse, as this coming gets nearer, amen, our hope, amen, grows stronger and stronger each day.
Amen.
That this might be the day that we're joined with Him.
Amen.
You see, the patience hopes are the physician's secret weapon. Have you got hope today? Chapter number 1, she said, I have no hope. Chapter number 2, because of what Boaz did, she now has a living hope. Have we got hope today? You see, that hope is the hidden ingredients in the prescription of a healthy Christian life. Pastor, would you come? Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You and I thank You and I pray that You'd take all this message and in some way use, begin to bless and begin to speak to hearts. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings. Help us, Lord.